I do miss this church. It's really become my family now. I know it's Ariel's family since, you know, she kind of grew up here, but it's really become kind of my family now, and I really appreciate how y'all guys love us and take care for us every time we come, and how we make fun of each other too. But I enjoy every moment with you guys. I just want to speak a little bit about how our deputation's been going. Thank you so much for praying for us. It's meant the world. These past few months, we've been bouncing around throughout the United States, you know, all the way down to Texas, coming down to Georgia, and then back here, and we're just doing a lot of traveling. But God really blessed throughout this this time. Quite a few churches have taken us on, and right now we're about between 70 and 75%, depending on the month, right? But about 70-75% support, and looking right now, the promises are getting close to 80. But once they start coming in, I'll be able to say we're at 80. but we're excited. But more than that, we've been able to have a few times where we've been a blessing, or we've seen God just use our ministry while we're on deputation. A few times, it's just been really, really neat. One of the neatest situations we were in is we're in Texas. A lot of people know the Hastings. We were actually staying in their house, and we were visiting their church. And while we were there, they said, "Well, we have a ministry to go to the senior saints and just be a blessing to them." And so we went with them. Kyle preached that day in the senior saints facility. And after that, everybody was, you know, just walking out of the service. But I noticed there was one man that was just sitting down there by himself. And I went over to him and I asked him in English, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Luis." And I noticed, you know, maybe somebody had tried to talk to him about Christ before, but he just really didn't understand English. And he was struggling there. And a lot of people just, you know, left him alone. He was, you know, kind of strange, but kind of really struggling in some situations. And I knew probably, honestly, I said, "Well, God, I really want to have a purpose. Every time I go and do something, I want to have a purpose for us doing it. I don't want to just attend, you know, a meeting. I don't want to just do this, do that." But I was asking God to give us a purpose for the reason that we would visit that facility. And when we got there, I just really didn't see a reason for us being there other than just, you know, singing along. And if that was the purpose and God had a purpose in that's great. But I didn't really feel that we were being used. But after that service, I got to talk to Luis. And I asked Luis, "Well, has anybody ever talked to you about this?" And he couldn't understand me, and I started speaking in Spanish. So I said, "Luis, has somebody ever asked you about your eternity? Has somebody ever asked you about having heaven as your home?" And he started to kind of, you know, have a little sparkle in his eye. He finally met somebody that could speak his language, and he started conversing with me. And he said, "No, nobody's ever told me about this. He came to those meetings just to, you know, be part of it, but he never really understood anything that was really happening." And it was the neatest thing to be able to talk to Luis and talk to him about Christ and tell him about heaven. And I know some people feel, you know, closer to heaven than others. Some people say, "Well, I got plenty of time left. I'll do that later. I'll get close to God later." But I really appreciate Luis understood life is brief. And he said, I really do need this. I need God in my life." And he received Christ as a Savior. And to me, it was incredible to see that. And throughout our deputation, we've seen time after time after time, God just uses specifically for his work. We're getting excited because we're getting ready. We're about 5 months away, 5 or 6 months away from going down to Mexico City and permanently being down there. Right now, what we're doing is every 2 months, there's somebody helping us with plane tickets. We go down every 2 months and help with a project or two down there while we're on deputation for this past year and a half. But the specific project that's touched my heart the most is we're helping a pastor in Veracruz, Hector Ramirez, build an auditorium. Because right now they're in a little building that's being rented. That's about maybe half of this auditorium and probably a little bit less, almost a quarter of this auditorium. And they pack about 100, 150 people in that tiny little auditorium. I mean, it's ridiculously hot there, and people are just, you know, serving God. They're all squished in there, but they're happy. And they're excited to do more, but they can't really do more. And they're trying to get the funds to be able to build an auditorium, but people just don't have the money. And so they're gathering what they can. And so God kind of touched my heart and said, "Well, why don't you be a part of that?" And what we've been able to do is now help them purchase the land and help them start building an auditorium. And the auditorium is supposed to seat about 450 people. And we've seen from the very start the people get on board. They said, we're going to give as much as we can financially, but we're also going to be part of building this. And we've only had to hire one person. That's the one telling everybody what to do. But the rest of the building is being done by the people of the church whenever they have a second off of work. And we've seen the men of the church, we've seen the women of the church, and we've seen the little kids grabbing little cement buckets and pouring some of the cement with their dad and their mom, building the auditorium. And I'm getting excited because he says, coming this December, Lord willing, they're going to be able to put the roof. But just about a month and a little bit ago, they had their first service in that place. They said they want to have one every month just to get accommodated to the place, just to get used to the place. And they had the first service there, and it was just incredible to see how many people showed up and the smiles and the excitement for that. So if you'd be able to keep on praying for that, we're excited to see that. And they're excited to be able to get into a new auditorium and just be able to expand there in Veracruz in Mexico. So if you'd be able to pray for this, that would mean the world to us. Well, tonight, Pastor asked me, well, could you speak tonight on something maybe that, you know, touched your heart, but could you speak tonight? And I was thinking about what am I going to preach about? And I preached this once before, but I really felt a burden to preach this tonight because I think it's needed. More and more, it's needed. As I go traveling through churches, as I go traveling and meeting Christians, I find this problem being one of the greatest problems, I believe, in Christianity today. And that thought is going to be found tonight, if you open your Bibles with me, to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. In Proverbs chapter 23, in verses number 17 and 18, we find what so many people are struggling with today. If you could stand with me, we're just going to read two verses tonight to get started. And I'm going to have a short lesson, but I really feel like this is what God wanted me to bring tonight. So Lord willing, it'd be a blessing to you. But these two verses talk about something I believe is one of the greatest problems in Christianity today. If you guys could help me read verse number 17 of Proverbs 23, and I'll read verse number 18. Verse number 17 says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off." Tonight I want to speak about that right there. For surely there is an end. Do you ever think about what your end is going to be like? The Bible says there's going to be an end for every one of us. Do we not care? Or do we want to have the best end that God has for us? Let's pray. Lord, tonight, as I bring this thought, this message, I pray that you help me with every word that I say what you want me to bring tonight. But Lord, tonight also, those of us that are hearing this, help us not just to listen to it, but also, Lord, help it to affect our heart. As we go through our life, so many times we have to answer for our life. We have so many decisions to make. And as we end our life, Lord, help us to look back and know that we did everything possible to fulfill what you wanted our life to be. We ask this in your name. Amen. Years ago, there was this little boy. Funny enough, his name was James. But this little boy would be staring out by the doorway of his house, just staring up into the sky at night. And the mom was reading a book that night when that little boy was just staring up in the sky. And the mom, as she was reading this book, she was finishing up, and she looked up to her son, James, and she said, "James, go upstairs, get ready for bed, and I want you in bed. There's there's school tomorrow, and I don't want you to wake up tired, so go to bed. I'm going to finish up this book, and then I'll go up there, and I'll make sure that you're in bed. Little James kind of sadly dropped his head and walked up those stairs, went into his bedroom, and shut the door. The mom finished up her book, turned off the light, walked up the stairs to make sure James was what he was supposed to be doing, was in bed and sleeping. And when the mom came in and opened the door, there was little James staring up out of a window. And she kind of got mad at him. She said, James, you're supposed to be in bed already. I told you, get in bed. He said, okay, Mom, okay. He ran into bed and got into the bed and pulled over the covers and said, Mom, I want to tell you something. She said, what's that, James? She said, Mom, can you look out that window and tell me what you see? And she walked over to the window. She looked out that window and she said, well, I see the moon. The moon's really bright tonight. James said, Mom, I'm going to be the one that walks on that moon. The mom said, with a little chuckle, really, said, okay, James, I hope that one day happens. She turned off the light and walked out. Years passed, and James, as I recall, was traveling down the street one day, and out of nowhere, it so happened that he had a wreck. He was studying his hardest to be an astronaut. He was studying his hardest to fulfill that dream he had as a little boy. But during that wreck, the ambulance came, picked him up, took him to the hospital. And in the hospital, laying in a bed, a doctor walks in and announces to him, James, sadly, I have a bad report. You have several fractures and several bones broken. Truly, I don't even know if you're ever going to walk again. And James thought to himself, well, it's probably it. My dreams of walking on the moon one day is gone. But then he thought to himself, no, I'm not going to let this defeat me. I'm going to conquer this. He fought and fought and fought. One day, he was able to tell the world, I was one of the few men that walked on the moon. I don't know about you tonight, but when God says he has a plan for me, and he says he has so much planned for me, I don't know about you, but when I look back, I want to say I fulfilled everything. That I was successful. That I was able to do what God had planned for me. And I want to be happy at the end of my life and turn around and look at the history of my life and say, wow, God did something through me. And I was able to be a success for God. Tonight we're just going to look at a few characters in the Bible that had an end. And you tonight, I hope you'll think about these characters and maybe apply their story in your life and say, well, what kind of end am I looking like I'm going to have? What kind of end do I want in my life? Alexander the Great was a great, great person, a great person in history, you would say, an incredible man that had a great feat. But when he came to his end, he was sad. He wept, and he told those around him he was sad. He wasn't satisfied because he had conquered everything, and yet that didn't bring him happiness. Several people in history, Hannibal, one of the greatest leaders in history, at the end of his life poisoned himself because he wasn't happy. person after person, I'm not going to read all the people tonight because I don't want to take too much time, but there's person after person in history, we see their life. We'd say, oh, what a success, what an amazing, amazing life. And they end up committing suicide or just telling the world it wasn't worth it. Because their end was depression. Let's look tonight, first of all, at Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. In Judges chapter 16, we're going to read two verses really quick. Here we find a character I believe is the first person we want to see. His name is Samson. And as I think about Samson, I think of a few characters in his life. And I think of his life and I say, well, he had a good life. But truthfully, it wasn't all that it could have been. And we see this confirmed in the last words he says. Here in Judges 16, verse 28 and 29, he says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left." If you think with me with Samson, you think of a character that started off well. But time after time really, he kept on falling. He kept on losing his way. And here we find his death, his end, you could say. He's dying. And he thinks to himself, boy, I messed up. But God, would you forgive me? God, would you give me strength one more time? Help me have a good end. Help me have revenge on them. But I believe most of all, he wanted to be in history, not die as somebody that turned his back on God, but was used one last time for God. And that's a pretty impressive end where he pulls those two pillars and has a great victory over the Philistines. But I tend to think, what could he have done if he didn't mess up? What could he have done if he would have thought, like Proverbs says, let not thy heart envy sinners, for surely there is an end. I don't know about you, but day by day by day, I have to remind myself, surely there is an end. And if you have an expectation for that end, if God has an expectation for your end, it can be accomplished. But the question tonight is, what kind of end will you have? How many times in our life do we decide to take the easy route or take the route that we want rather than the route that we know God is asking us to take? It might seem difficult. It might have been difficult for Samson to reject what he wanted. But I promise you, if he would have done that, we wouldn't be speaking of so many times where he failed. We would speak in a more like Joseph's life. What kind of end will you have? Let's see, second of all, another end. I'd like to call this a better end. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. There's a few characters in the Bible I think I probably identify with the most in the Bible, but there's a few characters I really, when I read their story and I read their end, it kind of breaks my heart. Why? Because I really want to have that kind of end. When I die, when I look back on my life, I want to know I did my best. But here in Philippians chapter 1, we're going to read verse number 23. Sorry, I'm in the wrong verse. Actually, let's skip ahead. Acts, would you look with me to Acts? Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And we're going to read the end of Stephen's life. Verse number 59 and verse number 60 says, And they stoned Stephen, and calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen, I believe, is one of the most amazing characters in the Bible. I think Stephen, even though he doesn't have a lot said about him in the scriptures, I think his life can be summed up right here. He's an incredible man. And when I read this chapter, I almost always come to tears because I think of what a man that didn't care about anything else but loving others and glorifying God. He sacrificed everything because he wanted an end for the people he was telling about. Now, what kind of end did he want for them? Well, he wanted them to be in heaven one day. There were his brethren, there were his fellow people, but you find himself right here in a situation where everybody's just mad at him. Everybody's mad at what he's telling them, and they can't take it anymore. They don't want to hear it. And they start going upon him. They take him. They put him aside. And they're about to kill him. Now, sometimes I like to say these stories, but sometimes I like to actually visually think about it. This is a real story. This is something that actually happened. This is a real person. And I don't know if it would have been you or if it would have been me that day. Maybe I would have backed down. Maybe I would have said, okay, well, I won't say too much. You guys look pretty mad right now. I don't want to cause something where maybe I'll end up getting hurt. But Chris, if you could help me out here. That day when Stephen was facing up against these angry people, he had a choice to make. You can stand right here. So imagine Stephen. Chris, Stephen. Right here, Stephen's preaching the word of God. He's telling about his Savior and telling them about how they could know for sure they were going to heaven when they died. But you find Stephen and the crowd not agreeing exactly. The crowd gets mad at him and they say, we're going to kill you. We don't like what you're saying. And so if tonight, where's my booklet? If tonight this were happening again, and we were to be able to be there right there and witness this and see this happen, I'm pretty sure it would touch our hearts more than just reading it. I'm pretty sure we could see this happening, and I don't know about you, but I believe it impacted me a little bit different. I'd see the sacrifice, and I'd like to know my life would be a little bit more like His. And so if could everybody that's here, come on up and help me out with this. Otherwise, you can help out too. You guys continue that way. So what we're going to do tonight is kind of go back in time. Stephen there is preaching to everybody. Everybody's getting mad. And these are the stones. Wait a second. We're gonna stone him. He wants to beat him up. It's like he's going down. Okay, can y'all share these amongst each other? These are going to be your stones. So kind of crumple them up. Pass them amongst each other. Everybody gets a few. And so, can the crowd kind of scoot that way so everybody can see? Everybody crumple up a rock. We're not going to be throwing real rocks at Stephen tonight. Chris says, I appreciate that. Okay, everybody has a rock or two. Everybody's really happy tonight. So, here we find the story in the Bible. Do you remember Paul? Remember Paul talking about this situation right here? Here we see people just get angry, mad, to the point they want to kill the man of God. And so these people say, we don't want to hear this. You're going to die. Everybody's grabbing enough rocks. And so Stephen, being taken by the crowd, is now on his knees. And as the people are gnashing upon him, stoning him, and as the people started throwing stones at him, one by one, go ahead, guys. As one by one, they started stoning him. He's starting to get beat up. Okay, y'all can stop. So these weren't little tiny stones. If you read about stoning in the Bible, it was more of putting them in a pit, taking massive, massive stones and throwing at them. And that day, I believe several in the crowd witnessed Stephen's end. And I believe, including Paul, it affected him. It affected him for the better. When Stephen that day cried out, God, they don't know what they're doing. They don't realize what they're doing. Would you please not take it to their account? Y'all can be seated. That day Paul was, I believe, amongst the crowd. Probably not one of the ones stoning him, but he was watching this. And Paul witnessed this, the end of Stephen's life, and the selflessness he proclaimed at the end of his life. And Stephen, at the end of his life, I believe impacted more throughout history than all his life combined. Every time I read this, I think to myself, what is my end going to be like? What is my end going to be like? Am I going to back down? Am I going to give up? Or am I going to be like Stephen and cry out for the people and never give up? Tonight, I just wanted to share that thought with you. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. I don't know what you hope for, and I don't know what you dream for. But I know that I want to be the best I can for God. And I don't want to ever give up along the way. And especially at the end, I don't want to ever say, forget it. It's not worth it. Stephen now is in heaven. And we're still talking about him. It impacted my life because of his end. What are you going to decide? Let's pray.